straight up 8 o'clock, so Brother Freeman's got a good full hour, and I know he's got plenty of material, and he's going to preach the word tonight. We're just glad he's in the house tonight, him and Sister Freeman. God bless you. Take your liberty, brother.
Somebody say Jesus. Somebody say Jesus. Now, come on now. I know you can do better than that. Somebody say Jesus. Bless his holy name tonight. Give the Lord a good hand of praise. Hallelujah. I love him. I said I love him. I said I love him. I said I love him. I know it's Wednesday night and the pastor's not here. And, you know, we could do a lot of things, but I think we can glorify the name of Jesus. That name that's above every name, hallelujah. The Bible said that every knee's going to bow and every tongue will confess. I want to do my confessing tonight. I want to bow my knee tonight. I want to praise him tonight. Hallelujah. Because if you wait, it may be too late. You'll do it, but it won't count. It'll be too late. Look at your neighbor and say, don't you just love him? Amen. It's so good to be here tonight. And so good to feel the presence of the Lord. And so good to see everybody out in the house of the Lord. And this is very commendable that pastor's not here and there's a somewhat of a full house here tonight. Hallelujah. Give yourself a good hand tonight for being at the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. We are certainly happy to be here, and we feel honored and privileged to be asked to come, and it's always good to be back in Birmingham to try to deliver something to you. I do have something on my heart tonight that I believe God is going to help us with. Thank you, brother. And I think he's going to challenge us. I think he's going to give us a bump in the Holy Ghost tonight. Because, you know, coming to church and living for God and hearing preaching is more than just a ritual. It's more than just words. It's more than just to have something to do. Because I promise you, if I started down this side over here and began to ask you if you had anything you could be doing tonight at home, every one of you could probably pull out a list a mile long and say, yeah, this is my list, things I got to do. But you come to the house of God because you love him and you want to grow. Brother, hold your he got his little thing a while ago. He held it up. Hold it up again and show everybody. This is growing in God. This is growing in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Amen. When he did that a while ago, I told my wife, I said, I like that. He's excited about what he's doing. Come on now. I know he's a new convert. And sometimes, you know, us old folks, it's been around a while. Sometimes we lost our excitement. But if we can get our excitement like that back, my Lord, what could God do in my life? What could God do in your life? Come on now. Hallelujah. Well, just keep growing, brother. Don't stop. Because it gets gooder and gooder. It gets gooder and gooder. Amen. Well, we're going to go to the Lord tonight. If you've got your Bible and want to turn to Exodus. I want to say that I appreciate this church. And I appreciate your prayers. God is doing mighty things in Greenville. And we're excited. I was going to tell you how many we had in service Sunday, but when the youth Bible study Monday night had 40 some odd people, made me want to pick up my marbles and go home. You had more people in Bible study than some folks have in church that's been going for years and years and years and years. Hallelujah. What an awesome thing to have 48 or whatever it was that you had Monday night, young people. You're not out on a ball field somewhere. You're not driving around the mall like you got any sense. You're not hanging out with some weirdo group somewhere. You're hanging out with the weirdo group here. But you're excited about the Word of God. Let me tell you something. God's going to do something with these young people. I listen in. I sneak a peek every so often on Monday night. I pull up the broadcast and listen in. We got to even see a little bit of it this week. Dustin had a video cam there, so we got to see the crowd that was there. And I tell you what, I was excited for them about what God is doing in their Bible study. And somebody might think, well, what are they accomplishing? You will never know what they're accomplishing. You will never know the impact that's taking place there. Hallelujah. But we had about 8 folks Sunday. Yeah, I like him. Hallelujah. We've had as many as 16. So, hey, you know, I tell you, we started with 4 2 months ago. So we're doing good. We're doing good. Amen. God is doing mighty things. I've got a Church of Christ lady we're doing Bible study with, and she came to church a couple weeks ago on Sunday, and at the beginning of the Bible study, she said, Brother Freeman, she said, I don't know about this Holy Ghost thing. She said, I don't know about this talking in tongues stuff. And a couple weeks ago, she said, I'm still not sure about this Holy Ghost thing, but I felt something today. And she said, I can't explain what I felt. I just grinned. And I said, stick with me, sis. We're going to go somewhere. She's already told me. She said, if I go back and tell my preacher some of the things you're saying, he'd tell me not to come back. She said, but you and the Word, Brother Freeman. And I'm going to tell you something. When you stick in the Word, something's going to happen. My wife was saying that the Word's getting around Greenville. I visited a church Sunday morning to inquire about renting their building on Sunday afternoon. And I walked into the little service there on Sunday morning and went through the service. And afterwards, I went up to shake the pastor's hand and introduced myself. And he said, so you start service at 2 o'clock, huh? I said, yeah. How'd you know? How'd you know who I was? He said, Brother, word spreads fast in this little town. I said, okay. So they know that we're there. We're stirring up trouble. And God's going to do some good stuff. I appreciate what he's doing. Hallelujah. Amen. Exodus chapter 29. I want to say that I love and appreciate our pastor tonight. And such an honorable man. Amen. And I appreciate the invitation to come and give you something tonight. Say amen. Amen. I heard him preach the other night. He said that that you make the preacher. You remember when he said that? The congregation makes the preacher. And I was listening. I said, you know, I couldn't agree with that more. Because I've been to some places. Well, it was hard. It was really hard. I preached at a Methodist church a few months ago, Sister Kim, and They didn't say nothing. I mean, they didn't even give me a good old nod or nothing. And but it's good to hear an amen every now and then. It's good to hear preach it, brother, every now and then. Amen. Thank you, brother. I think I will. Hallelujah. Aren't you excited about living for God? Exodus 29 and 42. And I'm not going to bore you. I'm not going to drag it out. But we'll just see what God has for us. Exodus 29 and verse 42. We're going to read down to verse 45. This shall be a continual burnt offering throughout your generations at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord, where I will meet you to speak there unto thee. And there I will meet with the children of Israel, and the tabernacle shall be sanctified by my glory. And I will sanctify the tabernacle of the congregation, and the altar I will sanctify also, both Aaron and his sons, to minister to me in the priest's office. And verse 45, and I will dwell among the children of Israel and will be their God. Hallelujah. Why don't you lift your hands and love him? Give him thanks for the word tonight. Ask God to move, touch each and every heart. Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We give you praise for what you've done for us, for this service, for what we have felt. We ask you, God, to move upon the word. We give you praise and we give you thanks tonight for your goodness and your mercy that endureth forever and ever. Hallelujah. Why don't you give God praise tonight? Amen. Before you're seated, do you love him? Hallelujah. I love him tonight. I love him tonight. Amen. Thank you, Sister Lindsay. Amen. Part of God's plan for his people Israel involved an item that was central to their existence, and that was the tabernacle. In fact, it was to be the center of their existence. Everything they did revolved around the tabernacle plan. And it was important because it taught them how to approach God. It taught them the proper means to come to God. God laid out a plan for them, and it involved, the biggest part of their plan involved the tabernacle. And it was a place where they learned how to approach God, and they learned what they needed to know in order to serve him. It all revolved around this tabernacle. In fact, the tabernacle itself was positioned to where the tents of the people would face the tabernacle. In Exodus chapter 33 and verse number 8, the Bible said, and it came to pass when Moses went out unto the tabernacle that all the people rose up and stood every man at his tent door and looked after Moses until he was gone into the tabernacle. And they let me know that they could, Brother Cliff, could stand at their tent, at the door of their tent, and see the tabernacle, and see Moses, and be able to see what's going on. They could stand there and see the tabernacle. Most artists' rendition or rendering of the tabernacle, and if you had a Bible study, it shows a picture in the Bible study of the tabernacle in the center with all the encampment of the camp around the tabernacle. Can somebody say amen? Amen. At any rate, the tabernacle was the central point of the Hebrew life. It was at this tabernacle that the Bible said where God would meet Israel. He said, the tabernacle shall be sanctified by my glory. I will dwell among my people, Israel, and I will sanctify the tabernacle. It was where God dwelt. It was in the tabernacle where the Ark of the Covenant was, and the place where God would come down and meet with the priest. And it was there that he would dwell, in that tabernacle with his people. Look at your neighbor and say, the tabernacle was a big deal. It was important. It was a central element in their life. Their whole existence revolved around the tabernacle. Everything they did, that was a central point in their existence, was the tabernacle. And I know I'm not telling you anything new tonight, but just follow me for a few minutes. It was at this tabernacle where Israel would learn about Jehovah and about his ways. They would know and learn how to approach God at the tabernacle. They would learn what God would require of them. And it was at this tabernacle where they would sacrifice to a holy God. Somebody say, holy God. God is a holy God. And this holy God had specific requirements for his people. One such requirement would be that since they would be serving a holy God, they would need to be a holy people. I know that's profound and that's really far out there tonight. But to serve a holy God, we have to be a holy people. Amen. And so he designed them. He designed Israel to be a holy people. And holy simply means, it doesn't mean that you were perfect. Doesn't mean that you were better than anybody else. Doesn't mean that you had it all figured out. What it meant was you were holy simply meant that you were separated, set apart, or uncontaminated by the world around you. God said, I want my people to be a holy people. I want my people to be separated, to be set apart and uncontaminated by the world around them. That means that their lifestyle would be opposite of the lifestyle of the nations round about them. They would worship different. They would eat different foods. They would talk different. They would dress different. And then the nations round about them. And he said, you're not going to worship like they worship. You're not going to have the gods that they have, because I am a jealous God and I am a holy God and I am a peculiar God. You see, I'm not just anybody, any old God out there. I am the living God, and I require something out of my people to be a holy people, separated unto God. Can somebody say amen? Hallelujah. Amen. So he would instruct the people of Israel at this tabernacle. And I'm not going to go into a lot of details. If you've never had a Bible study, talk with Brother Cliff and he'll get you set up with one, and you'll know all about the tabernacle and all the details and everything that went on. But I'd want to focus tonight on just that object, that centralized object that revolved around, that the children of Israel, the people of God, revolved around that tabernacle. Now, under the new covenant, somebody say the new covenant or the New Testament. Under the new covenant of grace, we no longer have that physical tabernacle that Moses had in the wilderness. Can somebody say amen? Yes, amen. Good. And if you have gone through the Bible study, you will learn that that tabernacle was not the perfect tabernacle. Brother Cliff, the Bible tells us that was not the perfect tabernacle. That was not the right tabernacle. He said, there is a more perfect tabernacle. In Hebrews chapter 9, it says that we have a high priest a minister of the sanctuary and true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not man. It's not the tabernacle that was pitched in the wilderness. That's not for us today. That's not our central theme in our life. That's not what we revolve around. We don't have to drag goats and pigs, or not pigs, they didn't do pigs, but whatever they did. Goats and calves and doves or whatever they sacrificed. We don't have to go out there and Brother Dawson, you know, get them and put a rope around them and bring them to the altar and get blood all over the altar up here and shed their blood and all that. We don't have to do that. That is not what we center around, because that tabernacle was not perfect. That tabernacle was not right. But there's a more perfect tabernacle. Hebrews 9 and 11 said, but Christ being come a high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle. Somebody say, a greater tabernacle. Lost my place. More, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood. Somebody say, his own blood. He entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of an heifer, there you go, bulls, goats, and heifers, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through eternal spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Let me tell you something tonight. We don't serve a dead God. We don't serve a God made out of wood or brick, but we serve a living God. It's not a tabernacle made with hands, but it's a tabernacle that God made. Our theme and our central everything that we revolve around doesn't revolve around the tent, or it doesn't revolve around the building, if you want to say it tonight, but it revolves around the true tabernacle, the perfect tabernacle. And Hebrews said that perfect tabernacle is Jesus Christ. Look at your neighbor and say, the perfect tabernacle is Jesus. It's not the physical tabernacle. It's not that old tent in the wilderness anymore. But it's a living Christ. It's a true tabernacle. Not made by man, but made by God. A living tabernacle, our high priest, our redeemer, our soon coming king, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. I want to make this man, Christ Jesus, our mediator between God and man, our redeemer, amen, the one that saved me from a devil's hell. I want to make that man, amen, the center of my life. As the old tabernacle was the center of the Hebrew life, this new tabernacle, the Word of God tells us Jesus Christ is to be the center of my life, the center of my existence. Just as the former tabernacle in that wilderness was the center of the Hebrew life. And I'm almost done, see? And I'm fixing to get to the meat of what I want to talk about. Somebody said, I said all that to say this. Why didn't you just say that? Well, we preachers like to build, you know. I wanted to tell you about the tabernacle, the old tabernacle, where God met with the people. God met there. God said, I'm going to meet you at the door of the tabernacle. I'm going to speak to you there. I'm going to be your God. You're going to be my people at the tabernacle. And let me tell you something tonight, where you're going to meet with God, where you're going to receive from God, where you're going to find happiness and peace and joy in your life. It's not going to be at a building. It's not going to be in a tent, but it's going to be with a man by the name of Jesus Christ. It's going to be putting him at the center of everything you do, putting the kingdom of God at the center of your life, putting the kingdom of God at the center of everything that exists. Amen. If you seek, the Bible said, to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then everything else shall be added. If I put him first. Amen. Thank God I have found mercy. 1 Peter 2:9 tells us that we are called out. We are redeemed. The Bible said, but ye are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. Somebody say, I'm a royal priest. That's what he said. You're of royal blood. And God said, I'm going to meet with you at the tabernacle, Israel. Moses, I'm going to anoint Aaron. I'm going to anoint the priest. Amen. Peter said that we are a royal priesthood. We are a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And then he goes on to say, which in times past were not a people, but you are now the people of God. Look at your neighbor and say, I wasn't a people, but now I am a people. I am somebody. Tell them, I'm somebody. Amen. I've got royal blood flowing through me. Amen. I am a child of the King. If you're happy to be a child of the King, why don't you let him know it tonight? Amen. Let's clap our hands to the Lord. Thank God I found mercy. Amen. Brother Warren, thank God I found him one day. Hallelujah. I was lost, but now I'm found. I used to be blind, but now I can see. Brother Cedric, I was on my way to a devil's hell. Amen. I was lost, undone. I had no hope, but he gave me hope. Amen. And if he gave me hope, I want to serve him. Amen. Somebody say, I want to serve him. Hallelujah. My name has been written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I'm not on my way to hell anymore. But I've been redeemed. I've been blood bought. I've been washed by the blood of Jesus. Why wouldn't I want to put him center? Why wouldn't I want to put him in the center of my life? Why wouldn't I want to have passion about the things of God? I want to serve him. I shouldn't give God my leftovers. What I'm talking about tonight is putting him at the center. Not on the back burner. Not somewhere that, well, when I need you, Lord, I'll come get you. But I want to put him in the center. Kingdom of God, your walk with God, your church, your prayer life, everything about the kingdom of God should be front and center in your life. You say, preacher, we got to have a life. You know, we got to live. We got to work. We got to do all of those things. We got to, you know, pay our bills and pay mortgages and, you know, give teenagers all our money. What do you mean, you know? I declare my daughter has her hand out like that more, I think, than anybody I've ever seen. But I know you got a life. I know you got things to do. But let me give you a little secret. Let me give you something profound tonight. Let me give you something that you can take with you tonight. And I know you've never heard this, so I'm really excited about telling you about it, because it's something I found in the Word of God, and I found it to be true. And it simply says this. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Then maybe God will meet with you. Maybe He'll do it. Maybe things will work out. Shall. You see, if you put God first, even if you have problems, Brother Warren, they really don't seem like problems. If you put God first, if a hardship comes, I talked to a guy today from Birmingham, a friend of mine that used to work with me here in Birmingham. He was emailing me today and telling me what's been going on in his life, and he was just depressed. So many problems are happening in his life. And I just thought, you need God. I can't solve your problem. You know, I don't have enough money to give you to take care of your problem. You just need God. I want to seek Him. I said, I want to seek Him. Amen. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Everything should revolve around Him. My decisions, my life, my ministry. Yeah, that's right. Everything. Hallelujah. I got a fan back here in this right-hand corner. Amen. I was excited a few weeks ago when I was listening into your broadcast weekend with Cliff, and we were all gathered around the computer, my wife and Amber and Andrew, and we were helping you count. Sister Freeman was in the other room. We just bought a house and we're kind of redoing a few little things, and she was putting up wallpaper, and we'd holler in, "They're up to 25. What an awesome weekend. You talk about inspiring. Brother Cedric, I was thinking about Brother Hagedorn and Brother Cliff, whoever was doing the baptizing. Like, it's like, put them down. 38 in one weekend. That tells me God is doing something here. Come on now. Don't tell me if you put your passion and your life and your existence into things of God, it's not rewarding. There's nothing more rewarding, Sister Kim, is to see somebody go down in the water in the name of Jesus Christ. To see their sins washed away. To see the glow of somebody's face after receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost and talking in tongues for the first time and seeing the joy on their life. What's all that about? What do you mean 38 people in one weekend? That's the kingdom of God. I've got a word for you tonight. This is another one of those profound words. I have a lot of those to tell you tonight. The best is yet to come. It's going to get better. Because you see, I can't wait, because I'm so excited for you. I can't wait that I can pick up the telephone and call you and say, look, we had 38 to get the Holy Ghost in one weekend. Come on now. Somebody needs to get excited about what God's doing in the kingdom of God. Come on. You have passion about other things. You have passions about things that don't amount to a hill of beans. You polish your truck up. You wash your car. You paint your house. You do all kind of stuff and you're excited about it. But if you get excited about anything, it ought to be the kingdom of God. If you get excited about anything, if you get it passionate about anything, it ought to be the kingdom of God. It ought to be the things of God. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm talking about putting God at the center. When you put God at the center, things happen that you would never dream about. I'm 40-something. 40-something. And I have never, ever had God let me down. In fact, I've seen him come through in so many situations. I had no idea that he could do that. It's like, whoa, that's great. That's neat. But I'm telling you, if you put him first, if you put him first, I'm talking to somebody tonight. I know this is not for everybody. If it's for you and you can use it, go with it. But I'm talking to somebody tonight. The church is going somewhere. You're going to see more. You're going to see these altars full to capacity. You're going to see more than 38 on a weekend. You're going to see those things. I'm telling you. I'm excited for you. But let me tell you something. For some, if you're not careful, now let me challenge you just a minute. If you're not careful, you'll find yourself slipping. You'll find yourself moving one more pew back. Not literally, but figuratively speaking. Stepping away from the center. Stepping away from where you once were in God. Moving back. Well, there's enough here now. I'll just kind of mosey back a little bit. I'll let somebody else do it. I'll let somebody else be involved. That's not what the kingdom of God is about. I want to do and be involved in whatever I can be involved in the kingdom of God. Amen. And I'm going to skip a whole lot of stuff here because I've already preached way too long. Keep your passion alive, sister. You. She knew who I was talking about. Keep your passions alive for the kingdom of God. Don't let it be said that you had more passion about a silly ball game than you did about a service. Don't let me get caught being excited about some silly something or another that don't matter to nothing. I'm going to tell you what I think, and here's one of those profound words again. Brother Dawson, you writing these down? Okay. Here's another one of these profound words for you. To me now, this is just me speaking. This is Freeman 1 and 1. To me now, there's nothing more pathetic than to see an apostolic gathered around a radio waiting for Alabama to score a touchdown. And when they don't score the touchdown, oh. And when they score, yeah! Now I'm saying that because I've seen it. I've seen it. And I'm like, I don't know them. That stuff don't last. That's not important. What is all this about? What are we about? We're about seeing 38 people get the Holy Ghost on a weekend. Come on now. I'm telling you, I feel this in the Holy Ghost tonight. I know I'm really simple and just, you know, but I'm giving you my heart. If I'm to be passionate about anything, it should be about church. It should be about working for God. It should be about being available to what God has. New converts, newly graduates from New Life Growth Class. I've watched you the last several months come visiting and seeing your worship. And, you know, and I know there's probably trouble in your life. There's probably things that's happening. There's probably, you know, stuff. But here's another one of those profound words, okay? If you keep going, if you don't stop, involve yourself in the kingdom of God. It doesn't matter what it is. Make yourself available. There's a team fair coming up. You should be here and say, I want to, where can I, what can I do? Where can I sign on the dotted line? Well, what do you know how to do? Well, I don't know, a few things, but I'm willing to learn anything. What, I can clean toilets. You got any toilets to clean? I can paint. Somebody was painting today. I can, whatever. Just involve yourself in the kingdom of God. If you involve yourself in the kingdom of God, you'll be here 20 years from now if the Lord tarries. You'll be here. Because in the 30 some odd years that I've been living for God, the ones that lose out with God, those that are here one day and one day they're not here, I've watched their life. And I remember them being right up front, not literally. You understand what I'm saying? I'm speaking figuratively here. Front and center of what God is doing. Involved in the kingdom of God. And then I've seen them slowly make a step or two back, make another step or two back. Well, they used to teach Sunday school, or they used to whatever. I don't want to qualify everything tonight, but I used to be in the praise group, or I used to teach youth Bible study, or I used to, and I've seen him step back one step at a time, Brother Cedric, until they're not doing anything anymore. And the next step, and I don't want to end this on a negative note, but the next step is out the door. I don't want to go out the door. You got a lot of new stuff happening, a lot of new converts, a lot of new things going on. I've heard you've had an invasion of babies. I saw a few tonight. Sister Erica, are you still the nursery head honcho, right? Okay. I'm going to put a plug in for you. You got an invasion of babies. So we might need more nursery workers. So my attitude is, where do I sign up? I also heard that you're getting a new bus. I hear all kinds of stuff. So we might need new bus ministry workers, sister. Yeah, you. Sister, where do I sign up? I'm just giving you some ideas here. And Brother Cliff, if you have too many more weekends like you had a few weeks ago, we got to have Bible study teachers, don't we? Yeah, you see, he's already got them lined up. Where do I sign up? See? And I those are just a few examples. Find something to do in the kingdom of God. And as we stand, and I'm actually going to say this and hush. I want to put God at the center of my life. I want to put Him at the center. Okay, this is it in a nutshell. This is what I want to leave you tonight. This is what I want to say. And then I'm going to let God talk to your heart. Make the things of God, the kingdom of God, the word of God, the church, the center of your life. Get involved. Give yourself completely to God and for the kingdom. And I promise if you do that, you will live a fulfilling, rewarding life. The most miserable thing you can do as a child of God, the most miserable thing you can do is live half-hearted. That's miserable. Because you're neither here nor there. It's like the old preacher said, you're neither washing or hanging out. You know, you're just here a little and there a little. You're not happy. You're miserable. You snap at the family and you kick the dog and you just, things just don't go right in your life. Because you're not happy. Amen. That's what I wanted to say tonight. Put God at the center. I look around, I see a lot of new faces here. A lot of new people. And you love God. You want to continue to love Him. Get involved. And I know I'm not telling you anything new that Brother Sutton hadn't preached a million times. But as I was praying the other day, it's just like God said, tell him again. I'm going to do some things. I'm going to do some things. And I need them. I need them on board. I mean, it's going to go whether you get on board or not. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. It's going to happen. Somebody's going to do it. If he has to bring in somebody else to take your place, somebody's going to do it. Somebody's going to have that rewarding, fulfilling life that he wants to give you. God's going to give it to somebody. But I want to get it for myself. Would you lift your hands and love him tonight? Amen. Would you allow God to talk to you? My existence, my whole life, I want it, my whole attitude, God, I want it to be whatever you want me to be. I may not be able to sing, or I may not be able to whatever. But I want to do something. I want to be involved. Hallelujah. Are you praying? Hallelujah. Talking to God. I'm talking to somebody here tonight. God's been talking to you. You hear what I'm saying? I know what I'm talking about tonight. God's been talking to you. God's been saying you need to move back. You need to move back where you were. You've backed up a little bit. You slipped a little bit. You're not involved like you used to be. You're not fulfilling in your life like you used to be. I wonder if we can all just come and gather around the front, just as a family, as a church. Amen. God is doing good things, positive things. Amen. Just let the Lord tell him tonight. If you've got a prayer, if you don't have a prayer, pray this. Lord, I want to be involved. I want to place you at the center of my life. I want to be separated unto you, separated from this world. Hallelujah. Amen. Pray as they begin to sing tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.